Good morning, it's KX93.5. I'm Jason Fenny. It's full English breakfast. And here's Daniel Barnes. Hello, Barnes.
Good morning to you, Jason.
Good morning. And here's Martin Cohen.
Here he is.
Ah, there he is.
Good. Sat here.
Oh, there he goes.
Good. Sat here.
Fired up.
All right, listen, it's our second annual consciousness show today. I'm very excited about it, although you two slobs weren't here last year.
No.
So I had a proper conversation with our guest this morning, Mr. Dr. Joe Ferguson. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Last year our conversation was half about consciousness and half about pinnipeds.
Right, we talked about seals.
We'll do all kinds of
Well, it was, I tell you what, at that point in the history of Full English Breakfast, I still was not sure what kind of a show we were going to have. I didn't know what kind of show I wanted to do. I just know I was going to come here every Sunday and talk on the radio and play music. I wasn't the professional that I am today,
that
Joe.
Was before you decided the to compete with Charlie Rose.
Right. You even see the man you started to see standing before you, I was a mere shade of my former self.
I know, you can put on a lot of weight.
So, I invited Joe, who I'd just met, and his wife, Mary, and they came in, and she's the she does a lot of good work for the Pacific Marine Mammal Centre. Mm-hmm. Quick shout out for them. But it was, and Joe is a Renaissance man and a basic general all-round do-gooder in the world of the brain and the mind.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm interested in consciousness and the way people work with it.
So the show was a bit like disjointed because on the one hand, Mary wanted to talk about fundraising for what do you call them?
The Mammal Center, Pacific Marine Mammal Center. I know, pinnipeds.
Pinnipeds, the seals and sea lions.
Yeah, that's
there.
A category.
Right. And is it a phylum?
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
Your lisp. Was that
so? Anyway, that was the show last year. And you'd just gotten back. This was the point. Joe had just gotten back from a convention in India last year.
Right, in Agra.
Toward a Science of Consciousness.
Right, which is a conference that's been going on to discuss issues related to consciousness, subjectivity, right. What it's like to be Jason Fetty for 20 years. And this was the 20th anniversary of the conference. And, of course, they used the Sgt. Pepper theme.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. Joe's had thank you. He's giving us a T-shirt. Joe's handing us T-shirts. Very nice. Swag.
Yeah.
We like a bit of swag here.
We do.
Now, you can see this shenanigans if you go to alertheglobe.com. Hello, alertheglobe.com. Just waving at them. Alertheglobe.com are a streaming service, and they are streaming our show live as per usual. Very nice of them. Big news from them later on in the year. They're going to be a big thing. John Troy's here. Hello, John. You can come to that mic, yes. Hello, mate.
Hello,
do sit down. It's going to be a bit of a free-for-all this morning. Very nice of you to join us. John Troy has a show when?
Tonight at
Sunday night. Sunday night at 10 o'clock. It's called John Troy's Crunchy Groove Sack.
Yeah. Ooh. What do you mean by that exactly?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Well, it's as I say, I'll hold my sack up against anyone's because all my grooves are crunchy.
Nice.
Right. Yeah, see? He's got it planned out.
He knows what he's saying.
Can you sit on the other side of the studio?
It just makes me think, if your sack's crunchy, it makes me think you probably need some, I don't know, moisturiser would cure that. I'm thinking of doing another show called Jason Fetty's Smooth. Handful of Moisturiser. All right, so Joe, tell us something. Here's that. I'm right. Last year, I asked the basic questions, and we should probably go with them again for people who are just waking up and have unconscious at this point
of
the morning.
A zombie.
What is consciousness?
Well, that's an excellent idea question. Consciousness is whatever it feels like to be you. It's that sense of subjectivity. And it's the most central thing that everybody's got in their life, and it's completely understood. This conference that we were talking about, Toward a Science of Consciousness, has been going on since 1994. To discuss it from a philosophical, biological, every other perspective you can imagine. And in the swag category, before we get too much more into the substance of the thing, I've got more. I have T-shirts for you, Jason.
What?
From 1996, which is the second conference. 1998.
Don't give me your old T-shirts.
2000. No, these are new T-shirts, and I want you to have them. 2002. 2004, I wasn't there for some reason. But there's 2006,
oh my.
8, 10,
oh, look at this.
12,
lunatic.
And now you've got 14.
Martin, look at it.
That's how serious a topic this consciousness thing is.
Wow.
He won't have to buy a T-shirt for 5 years. He loves this. Look at him. He's over the moon.
That's right. I've been storing these things up for 20 years in my closet, and I don't wear them. This is, I get two every every other year.
Right.
And I've been saving one for you, it turns out.
Do you ever go to the thrift store downtown, the Women's League thrift store?
I haven't been there for a while.
You don't go.
Do you go there?
No, I'm just making sure you don't go, because they're all going to be in there on Tuesday.
Okay. Anyway, subjectivity, consciousness, philosophies and religions have been trying to figure it out. You've all been exposed to different theories of it. I know John's got a particular form of meditation that he's attached to. And nobody has any clue what it's about. It's been the conference has been transformed into a cognitive psychology and quantum physics and philosophy convention. And in terms of the fundamental question of what is consciousness, there's not a clue, which is the most fascinating part about it.
Right. That's what fascinates me, because there are a lot of ideas out there. There are a lot of metaphysical ideas which seem to give us a metaphorical comfort.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, and theories of consciousness are all about comfort. They're all about trying to understand this fundamental thing. People don't like to not understand.
Yeah.
And so we've made up all this stuff about consciousness, mostly to the effect that it gives us a soul. That's what most people want to believe.
And they want to believe this, that it carries on after death and all that, or whatever. I mean, some people want to have a soul that dies when you die or whatever, but whatever gives them comfort or solace or an idea that, okay, I'm taken care of, it's okay, or this is a real thing, or I'm as important as I feel I am.
Right.
I'm as crucial to the running of the universe as I feel, as it feels to me that I am, you know.
Well, and ideally, we'd like to be central to the universe, which is, of course, one of the theories of consciousness, is that there's only one of us, and we're God, and we manifest everything else.
I know, but most people I've met these days are kind of smarter than that. They know that they're not the center of the universe, so they'll say things like that. It becomes like a platitude. Like, I know I'm not the center of the universe, of course. And
right, but of course, we all are the center of the universe.
Right, at the end of the day, yeah, you know, who's going to eat first when we're all starving?
Right.
You know, so we're kind of lab rats in a way.
We are lab rats. In fact, we're made out of meat. And and the question is, how can meat be conscious?
Right.
It's really a fundamental problem.
That's my next question. So this consciousness is a thing, and feel free to dive in. Consciousness is a thing. So we know that it's something. Okay. And it may be something that's like intelligence, maybe.
Nope.
No, not like intelligence?
Nope. Intelligence is a matter of neurons firing in massively parallel mode, wired up to do the kind of things that people do when they think. That's all a mechanical
process.
That's
what, and a computer can do that.
So a computer can
have intelligence, but not consciousness,
well,
as far as we know.
Well, we don't know that. One of the prominent theories of consciousness is that it's information processing related. And that something interesting enough has to be going on, something that you can perceive or think about or some content, and then consciousness sort of comes there to experience it, as opposed to generating it.
Okay.
Consciousness, here's the problem with consciousness that you find. People associate consciousness with consciousness of things, you know, like cosmic consciousness or musical consciousness, or people have a thousand different descriptions of consciousness that are not really subjectivity. They're not the experience. They're the subject of consciousness.
But the thing that you're
like
thinking about.
Like mathematical consciousness. If you think 2 + 2 = 4, you're having mathematical consciousness. If you're meditating, you're having another kind of consciousness which doesn't have a lot of words in it, typically.
Well, this is why it's so difficult, because it's not the thing you're thinking about. This is what we're trying to get across.
It's
not the fact that you're the thinking in the first place.
It's right.
That you're aware of that thinking.
That you're aware of that thinking. Thinking,
right?
Because the thinking potentially could be done by a computer also.
I just saw this movie, Transcendence.
Oh, I've heard about this. Johnny
Depp.
Tell us a bit about it, because this is probably relevant.
It's awful.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was terrible.
He's not doing well, is he, Depp?
It's just awful.
Did you see, what do you call it? Kemosabe,
what
do you call it?
Take your eyes off him.
No.
But there's an interesting question that recurs in it when they encounter this computer that is apparently self-aware, like Hal, and this person who's doubtful says, Are you conscious or are you self-aware? And the computer goes, that's an interesting... No, can you prove that you are self-aware, that you are conscious? And the computer says, that's an interesting question. Can you? Which is what this whole conversation is sort of revolving around, I suppose.
And of course, you can't prove
it.
And the term for that, by the way, in philosophy, there's a technical term for that. It's a zombie. Zombies, the guys with the mashed up face.
It's like you're programmed.
It's you or me, right? We don't know who in this room is a zombie and who's not, because a zombie would behave identically to a conscious individual. And if you ask it, are you conscious, it'll say yes. Mm-hmm. So you can't trust it.
Yeah.
By the way, there's another movie out about the singularity. It's a documentary. It's called The Singularity, and it's fabulous. I saw 30 minutes of it in Tucson at the conference, but it's available on iTunes for $19, and I recommend that. For anybody not familiar with the singularity, do you think all your listeners are familiar with the singularity?
I wouldn't think so. Go ahead and explain. I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
And I forgot what it is now, so explain the singularity and I'll remember.
The singularity is a point, theoretical, but I think inevitable, coming up, where artificial intelligence gets to a point where computers are smart enough to do engineering and design their own more intelligent successors. And with automated manufacturing and nanotechnology, they build those successors very rapidly. And there's an intellectual explosion that's going to take place at some point when that happens. And this entity, which we call the singularity, starts to evolve at computer speeds, not at human biological.
Right. And then at that point, the question is, at that point, does consciousness emerge?
Right.
And they use that word, right, emergence. Does it consciousness? Because so if we agree that it's a thing, now where does it come from? We don't know.
Right.
Are you saying that it's possible, anyway, that it emerges from power of, you know, computing power?
Yeah, right. And it could emerge at a very low level. I mean, it could be your smartphone is conscious.
I think the dog's conscious to some degree.
Well, Mrs. Pickles, for sure.
Right, where is she?
Mrs. Pickles.
Mrs. Pickles is like hyper-conscious.
Hello.
She is a bit hyper-conscious. Hyper is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, definitely hyper.
Right. So that consciousness could emerge. Now, explain a bit more about how that works.
Well, emergence is one of the theories of consciousness, which means that if you do a set of things, they're kind of the physical properties first, because when we talk about electromagnetic fields and other physical properties, and consciousness is probably a physical property that we just haven't explained properly yet.
Right.
When we talk about... Mrs. Pickles.
Hello.
If you're watching alertheglobe.com right now, they're filming Mrs. Pickles. She loves the limelight.
This is a voice.
Hello.
What was the question?
I'm sorry. You were talking about the fact that the brain is physical, and we think that consciousness probably just. But just hold on one sec, Joe. Let's go back to that in a second, because I keep forgetting to play music, and it's 20 after nine.
Play a song.
All right.
Is it going to be consciousness related?
I tried to pick out some consciousness related kind of music. Here's Brain Stew by a band called Green Day on KX93.5.
Having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting shit but running out. As time ticks by, still I try. No rest for cross tops in my mind. On my own, here we go. Feel like they're gonna bleed right up and bulging out my skull. My mouth is dry, my face is numb. Wrapped up and spun out in my room. On my own, here we go. Set on overdrive. The clock is laughing in my face. Crooked spine. My senses dulled. That's the point of delirium. On my own, here we go. Feel like they're gonna bleed right up and bulging out my skull. My mouth is dry, face is numb.
X93.5, indeed. I would have said that had those people not said it before me. It's Full English Breakfast, and today's special show, we're doing Consciousness. Some people might think that it's a bit of a stretch to go from the usual cockeyed nonsense that we have on this show to having a professor on talking about consciousness, but it's my show, and I can do what I want. So, Martin Cohen, briefly, let's go do it into our usual mode, shall we?
Yeah,
we have a news story.
I'm going to do this one. I said I wasn't, but
go
there's
on.
A guy here who... He's got... testicles that weigh 10 stones.
10 stones is 160 allegedly. Pounds.
No, it's not allegedly. There's a photograph of it.
There's a picture.
Really?
Yeah, well, come on,
you can't believe it. I mean, it's Photoshop. No. I've been photoshopping my testicles since Photoshop began.
You've been doing selfies with your testicles since selfies began. Anyway, he was in a freak show very quickly. He was in a freak show in Vegas with these large testes.
And why is this a story? Is there any
just
sort
just because he's a man with 10 stone testicles. I mean, what else do you need?
All right.
Testicle
I don't know, because we've been talking about consciousness. Because we've been talking about consciousness and emergence and, you know, and
the internet's made me aware of this story.
Subjectivity. It's hard for me to just flip straight to a man with 10 stone testicles.
You're in your zone, aren't you?
Difficult.
That's testy envy, isn't it?
You're in a very serious zone today, Jason.
I kind of am.
Good for you. You love this stuff, don't you? You like reading into spiritual things and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's envy of the testicles.
He does.
I've got a little testicle envy going on right now, yeah.
You got little testicles and you're envious of them? What are you saying?
I thought you were into the consciousness thing.
You know, I think we'll do consciousness every week
back
from now
Joe.
On. And back to you,
Joe. It leads everywhere.
So you were talking about the physical brain.
Yeah, so the one prominent theory and appealing one is that the consciousness arises from the brain, because as far as people experience it, the brain's always there when consciousness happens.
Right. If you have a car accident and you break your arm, you don't become a different person. You just become a person who's got a poorly arm.
That's
right. If you smack your head.
So one aspect of the investigation into consciousness has been the search for neural correlates of consciousness. Where does it take place? And people start slicing off parts of your body. You know, everybody kind of believes that if you cut off your arms and legs, you still be the same. Turns out you can go much further than that. You can take out substantial portions of your brain without either killing yourself or becoming unconscious.
But you do become a different person. So that whole thing of personality, where's that in?
Well, that all
this?
Goes away. It's nowhere.
Well,
you can
get to the part of the brain where you can take it out, and you are no longer conscious.
That's right. It's the brain stem, basically. Same thing we have in common with reptiles and fish and things like that. So that's how anesthesia works. And if you want to knock somebody out, that's where you hit them. Actually, hit them in the forehead, but so that the back of their head gets traumatized and
you're not there.
They become unconscious. Well, at least you're either not there or you can't report it anymore, right? Because the question is, when are you conscious when you're in deep sleep and not dreaming? Well, maybe. It's the same kind of question as asking whether this table or this audio console is conscious. You wouldn't know because it can't tell you. We rely on first-person reports. Are you awake now, Jason?
I have a question about that.
Yeah. Are you awake?
Excuse me. Well, I feel like I'm awake. Consciousness. So you hit the back of the brainstem and it goes away, or you can't report it. All right. So that's so are you conscious when you're asleep? Are you conscious when you're in a comatose state? All of that stuff. So is consciousness an on-off switch, or is it a dimmer switch? Is it either there or not there? Or are there levels of consciousness? I mean, Deepak Chopra, your pal...
Yeah, who's taking over the conference.
He would say there are many levels of consciousness.
Well, he'd say that's all there is.
Seven, in fact. He's decided that on an arbitrary figure of seven, not because of 7 days in a week and because it sounds
you do a
religious.
Fabulous Deepak imitation, by the way.
Well, I grew up around Indian people, so yeah. I do a very good... Why you not come to me?
Yeah.
Why you not come to me for your level of consciousness book?
Well, that would be the panpsychist argument, and that's the idea that everything's conscious. It's pervaded throughout the universe. It's always there. You don't think so, John?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, none of us.
I don't think so.
We all think it's a load of rubbish. But where is it? But right. It's believed in, and again, this is what I'm trying to get across: that people do believe this, and it's just a metaphorical way for people to feel comfort. They feel, oh, there are seven. There's seven levels of consciousness. I'm now at number three, and they can also talk well into the night, especially after a few glasses of wine or a joint or two. They can talk well into the night and feel intellectually comforted because they've got a simple answer to something which is the most complicated question in the universe.
Or the simplest question, but the answers are all wrong, every one of them.
Right. So, do the people at these conferences ever ask what's the point of the conferences?
Of the conferences, oh, yeah. Good question. Yeah, in fact, this was a particularly interesting. This will probably be my last one, actually, because over the years, it's become increasingly clear that science wasn't making any progress at all on the fundamental subjectivity issue. Making a lot of progress on cognitive psychology and neuroscience and those other areas. And so a lot of those specialists in other fields drifted away from the conference and came back, I guess, for the Sgt. Pepper theme. You know, it's 20 years ago today.
It's a great T-shirt.
Everybody wants to reminisce, and they all do, but basically there is no subjective consciousness that's scientifically legitimate anymore. There are just the various religious and metaphysical. And by the way, metaphysical says you can't have any information about it because there's no way it can produce any information in the physical universe.
Yeah.
So everything metaphysical is made up fantasy.
Yeah, it's just given a posh name. It sounds like it makes it sound scientific when you say it's metaphysical.
Now, right. Does that take the feed up from I think, therefore I am?
No, that's the only thing that survives, actually. Cogito ergo sum, the famous Descartes.
Yeah, it's a Cartesian thing.
Yeah, he posed the evil genius who was manipulating everything you see and think to the point where your brain may be in a vat in virtual reality. And so he went through an exercise to figure out what you could know for sure, and he came up with cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. I don't know what it means to think. I don't know what it means to be conscious, but here I am having an experience, and that's the only undeniable fact in the universe.
Yeah, in terms of the language, I think, therefore.
And
everybody,
that's I'm sorry, Jason.
No, I was just going to say that everybody thought that they knew what think meant, but it's so difficult, you know, to get the language across. That
does that still stand, though?
Well, no. Actually, that illustrates the very difficult problem of separating these, because you said I think, and thinking is understood. It's getting to be increasingly understood. It's information processing, and it's implemented in humans in neural networks with neurons and dendrites and all that good stuff. So the process of thinking is becoming understood, but why it's like anything to do that, I experience, therefore I am, is what Descartes really meant.
Right.
But we call that thinking, and anytime we do anything with our brains, if we're awake, we call it thinking.
So well, this idea of thinking and the brain and the when how consciousness possibly manifests from the brain, or probably manifests from the brain, that leads to a certain problem. This mind-body problem. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. The mind-body problem started, actually, with the what-is-life problem. Way back before, like, the 18th century, people said, well, why if some things move around and have these properties of animation, maybe there's a special substance. And it turns out that's just particular chemical kinds of reactions. So that was the life problem. And then once that one was sort of solved, then people started saying, well, how come we think... what's this consciousness thinking kind of combination thing? That's the mind-body problem. And the mind problem is being solved physically by computer science and neurology. And it leaves the mind/body versus consciousness question, right. Which is what it's come down to. Right. Now, we don't have good language for that.
No.
But when we say, what does it mean to think? We've already confused consciousness with thinking,
right.
Which is just another content.
Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not the TV program. It's the TV itself. How do we... What's going on here?
Exactly.
Right. Anyway, let's play another record, shall we? Because it's getting a bit heavy in here for a Sunday morning. It's full English breakfast.
Isn't it?
Barnsley's here.
Oh, my God. Do you know what? I'm listening to Dr. Ferguson, and I am absolutely mind-warped.
I know. That's the idea.
I'm more conscious now, man, than I've ever been.
You're highly conscious.
Oh, I'm a highly developed conscious person, and I'm just, like, listening to this, and I'm thinking... You know what? There's nothing wrong with being even more conscious.
Well, your consciousness probably is the reason for part of your pain, which we'll talk about after this record,
oh,
shall we?
Pain in jars, baby.
I know.
Extra sausage for me, please.
I'm sort of tenuously trying to think of songs that are to do with consciousness or the mind or the head. Hold Your Head Up, that was by Argent. It's a bit of a cheesy song, really. Martin Cohen, you're here, aren't you? Barely conscious.
Barely?
Yeah.
But that's my normal
state. You're the other end of the consciousness spectrum.
We think you're here. At least I think.
I would agree with that comment, to be very honest.
Go on.
And I'm trying to also, while you're finding music that is similar or related, mm-hmm. I'm trying to look for funny stories.
Go on.
This isn't a funny story, but it's one of those things that you hear about on the news and it's a little bit strange. A guy called Jason Padgett.
Okay.
31 year
no relation.
No relation at all. A 31-year-old dropout was working in his father's furniture store.
Mm-hmm.
Dead-end job, nothing going in his life. The guy got mugged and got hit in the head. Woke up after, it doesn't say how long, but he woke up after that ordeal. He's now a math and science genius.
Wow, that's incredible. It's not really what we're talking about, but it isn't.
But
I love those stories.
That's brain.
I love those stories because there's people that wake up and they can all of a sudden they speak Swedish.
This is just one guy out of eight that we're talking about. Right. One's a painter, one's a sculptor, one can speak multiple languages.
When you went to hospital to have your appendix out and then the doctor, you say to the doctor, will I be able to play the piano after this? And he says, yeah, and you say, that's good because I can't play the piano now.
Something like
that. Sort of
well,
thing.
In this case, it's probably turned off. His accident turned off a bunch of stuff that was interfering with his math, right? So if you apply the right kind of anesthetic to the right part of the brain, then you get math.
But how do you get math without learning it? Does that emerge from the brain, like a knowledge of mathematics?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff built into the brain. I mean, people are born with the ability to make eye contact and read facial expressions and look for cheeseburgers in the world and all the stuff you
language,
need to do.
Language.
But that's not learned or experience?
It's not learned unless you count evolution as a learning process.
Math is a construct in the mind. I mean, there is no math in the universe.
That's an excellent question. You've penetrated to the heart of math. Some people think it's fundamental. In fact, one of the theories put forward about consciousness was that it's mathematical. Max Tegmark, who's a MIT physicist, says it's math. In fact, all there is math. So, I mean, certainly higher math.
Is that like, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail?
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's exactly what it was at the conference. If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So everybody in their field has come to the conclusion that consciousness is a function of their field.
Right,
whether it's
course,
math
yeah.
or physics or psychology or philosophy or whatever it is.
I think it's to do with half-baked folk music and being a... sort of in kind of a DJ, sort of.
I think
an amateur DJ.
And hundreds of dollars.
And an awesome T-shirt collection.
Everyone's got an amateur DJ in their head, and that's what's running it. Just spinning plates and getting breaks wrong and stumbling over words and kind of getting the temperature completely wrong.
And the reason it can go on and on century after century is because there's no information available about consciousness, so it never gets disproved, and that's all science does is falsify things.
Right.
So these crazy theories can go on unchallenged forever because you never get any more data.
Wow. And scientists love that.
Yeah, we love that. And scientists, actually, good scientists love ignorance, really. Oh, yeah. And this is
There's
a
always something to
what
do.
What does that mean? What does that
well,
mean?
Well, it means if you discover what something isn't, you've learned something. You don't necessarily have to understand what it is. And that's what's happened with consciousness. You know, cosmic consciousness, all these things we've been talking about before, those have been eliminated, essentially, by making them scientific in their own right.
Right.
And so as we develop each one of these understandings of psychology and cognition and neurobiology and all those things, it drops off the consciousness convention agenda, really. And so you're left with nothing. And again, it's absolute ignorance. And I love it, first of all.
I just got this mind of this scientist with the white coats doing the whatever social experiments, blah, blah,
We've
blah.
We've discovered we know nothing.
And then they go, well, it's not that. Great, high five.
Yeah, absolutely.
We learned nothing. Let's move on and learn nothing more.
Tomorrow.
That's right.
It's a way of getting a grant for something else.
Well, it should be, but there's a big problem in science that people don't report negative findings.
Through his voice.
It's hard to get a dissertation committee to approve a negative finding, and so it's a big problem with science because people want positive findings. They don't want to find out.
Not being cynical about funding, it's kind of irrelevant, but you propose something positive, and even if the result is negative, At least
I'll tell you the absolute truth. Personally, the reason I've been focused on consciousness all these years and the satisfaction that I get out of it is I want to have an immortal soul. I don't want to just drop dead at the end of the game. And I don't think I've discovered anything to give me comfort in that area, but that's what I was looking for, and that's what I think almost everybody's looking for when they study consciousness. They want a soul. Do you want to just be a bag of neurons and molecules and atoms bouncing around for 60 or 70 years and then evaporate?
Just hurtling towards death and nothing.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather be some kind of transcendental entity?
How about 80 years?
I would rather
80.
There you go.
Good. I would rather be... you know, it's very interesting. Why are we talking about this? Because why am I interested in this?
That's why.
You're right, that's why. Because I want...
That's why everybody's interested.
I feel like it's just because I want to know, though. It's not... Because I take... There's a certain solace and fear and awesomeness in what I consider to be the fact of our mortality... And that's it. When you're dead, that's it. You're dead.
Well, the good news to total ignorance is it leaves all the possibilities open. It's better than coming to an absolute conclusion that you're nothing but a bag of molecules.
Right.
Right.
Flesh-encased ego.
And that is not the conclusion.
But all the hard evidence seems to...
Point to that.
What there is seems to point that we are just a bag of molecules.
But we have this one little escape clause at the bottom left-hand side of the spreadsheet, and I love that.
What is that?
Consciousness.
Right. It could be something.
Or at least I've got it. I don't know about you guys. You could be zombies. I couldn't tell.
What do you reckon?
Pardon?
What do you reckon?
Well, looking at you, Barnsley. Whether you're a zombie? I don't think so, mate.
No, I don't think so. I think Mrs. Pickles has got it. I think computers are conscious, too. Not very.
Right.
But I'm kind of a panpsychist. I think it's built into everything at some level. And if there's something interesting going on in a particular bunch of molecules, then it's going to be experienced. I'm going with that.
Do you think an insect, like an ant, is conscious?
Well, by that theory, but wouldn't be a very interesting consciousness. Huh. I know some people that it wouldn't be very interesting to be either. But certainly insects. They don't really do very much. And consequently, they're probably not very conscious. But
now, they're more computer-like, right?
Well, Stuart Hameroff, who's one of the
They seem to be programmed. They just...
You've just completely... You've blown my mind with this. Yeah, my mind's just blown.
It looks blown.
It's just blown. Honestly, one of my eyes is kind of shut.
You've got one of them.
I've got a little tear.
I've
got one of my teeth is itching at this point.
Well,
computers are conscious at some level.
Well, okay. Stuart Hameroff, who's one of the guys that started this conference, who's an anesthesiologist, suggested that a blade of grass might be conscious once every few days, based on his theory of consciousness.
I like them kind of scientists. That's what you should be looking into.
It's well, they're very poetic, aren't they?
Wild-eyed like fantasy.
Yeah, but on the other hand, consciousness, if computers are... See, when you say the word consciousness, it has a certain, probably literate or poetic, again... edge to it makes us feel like it's something bigger than just some emergent property of cells.
That's right. And you've invented a new word around it that you used in a radio spot you did for me, which was the plural consciousnesses.
Yeah,
it's very hard to say.
Yeah,
and in fact, there may not be multiple ones in it either.
Dr. Joe Ferguson helped me to quit smoking. That was what it was. He's an underwriter of the station, and I did a promo slot. I know you didn't ask, but I'm saying it anyway. Okay, let's play a record. My mind's blown.
That's what the song's called?
No. Oh. It's got, there's another one called Brain Stew. It's by Weezer.
Oh, we like Weezer.
Do you like Weezer?
Love Weezer.
Well, I'll play it then. It's KX93.5 Full English Breakfast. This morning, we're talking about consciousness with Dr. Joe Ferguson and the rest of the lads. And it's mind-blowing, really. I'm having my mind blown. I hope you're enjoying it. KX93.5.
Having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting sheep but running out. As time ticks by, still I try. No rest for crosstops in my mind. On my own, here we go. Feel like they're gonna bleed. Dried up and bulging out my skull. My mouth is dry. My face is numb. Looked up and spawned out in my room. I'm my own, here we go. My mind is set on overdrive. The clock is laughing in my face. Crooked spine. My senses dulled. Past the point of delirium. On my own, here we go. Feel like they're gonna bleed. Dried up and bulging out my skull. My mouth is dry. Face is numb. Puffed up and spawned out in my room. On my own, here we go.
Yeah, KX 93.5, We Are Lagunas, Only FM. We were having a bit of a spirited conversation there while that record was playing. It was Brain Stew, by the way, by Weezer.
And you missed it.
It was, no, I missed that song completely because we were talking. So, consciousness possibly emerges from the brain, we think. I mean, we can't find anywhere else for it to come from.
Yeah, at which point I said, but it's got to be more than that.
What do you mean? Why has it got to be more than that?
Well, I was being a straight man for your objection, because it seems like it ought to be more than that. It doesn't seem like something as big as consciousness should be restricted to a chance operation here on planet Earth during one little period of cosmic time. But as you pointed out, that's not a good argument. People make those kind of arguments all the time.
No, again, it feels like wishful thinking. And I don't mean to... here's the thing. For example, the placebo effect.
Yeah.
Placebo effect works very well.
Huge.
People are cured. People feel good. You give them a pill. You tell them it's going to cure you. They feel better.
That's right. You quit smoking.
I quit smoking with a hypnosis. What looked to me, looked like, guy goes to a therapist, has hypnotherapy. Hypnotherapy cures him of smoking. Well, that's not the full story anyway. That's not the whole story. Okay. But I drank the Kool-Aid because I wanted to quit smoking. Okay. Now, I admit it. The problem I have with metaphysicists is they don't admit that they've drank the Kool-Aid. And it's okay to do so. The placebo effect works just as well whether you say you believe it or you say you don't believe it. It doesn't make any difference. It works just as well because the conscious part of the brain is so small, it's just the tip of the iceberg. The rest of this brain of yours is working very well.
It does all the work.
It does all the things. It's doing everything. I always think of it like a synchronized swimmer. All very pretty on top of the water, floating around. But downstairs, under the water, there's legs kicking like crazy to stay afloat.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Right? So this is my problem with metaphysics and the problem with the argument, which you played the straight man to, which is, it feels like it should be bigger.
Right.
Or the other argument we were talking about was aliens out there in the universe. People say, I've heard the argument, that... Well, there are a bazillion stars in the universe. The probability is that there'll be other people on other planets or other beings on other planets, physical, conscious life on other planets.
And it's a short step from there to revelation, right? Because if you say things like, well, it's got to be like that or it just makes sense or whatever, people challenge that.
Right.
And at some point, people switch gears and they say, ah, but I'm channeling this from the ultimate cosmic source.
Right.
This is no longer speculation. It's revelation.
Right. And there's a god with an elephant's trunk and it died for our sins and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and you've got to eat unleavened bread for 7 days.
Right, and that's all the same kind of expression. It's got to be like this, right? It's a wish about how things ought to be, or some kind of intellectual speculation that, you know, that like there must be life because the numbers are big.
Well,
and that's a valid argument.
Yeah, just because it happened once.
Yeah. Well, we know that.
Yeah, for sure. We know that.
That's cogito ergo sum, basically.
Yeah.
If we know that we're alive, that there is life on Earth, I mean, it could be that we're all just plugged into a matrix. I don't know.
I think it's likely. In fact, one of the...
The Matrix is a good...
The Matrix is, and it's being implemented now by Christoph Koch, and the European Union's got a €1 billion project to simulate neural activity of a mouse. They're gonna build a virtual mouse.
Oh.
And Paul Allen has funded a brain institute in Seattle to the tune of another $1 billion to buy the supercomputers and do the research, and they're busily sectioning brains and creating real maps of average brains that include every neuron and synapse. And they're going to be building those. And I saw a simulation of a column, a pyramidal column, which is really a thinking unit in the brain, that was simulated at the Allen Institute. Fascinating. That's the Matrix.
That could be the Matrix.
Matrix is one of the popular theories at Tucson about consciousness, and it makes a lot of sense.
Wow. Except
not with Keanu Reeves in it.
Please. Just getting his shirt off. Johnny Depp, maybe.
Whatever.
Oh, God.
But, that kind of harks back. What I would say, if I was a metaphysician, is I'd say, well, that sounds like everything is everything. It sounds like some universal, if we're all plugged into one thing, then there's something about certain religions that's right.
Of course, it begs the question of what runs the computer, right? What's its power source? This thing, whatever's running the Matrix, what's it doing?
Yeah.
Well, there's always
so it really
that
doesn't
thing.
Help.
There's always that solace because, I've said this before on the show. I'm not opposed to religion by any means. In fact, I'm very much in favor of some kind of faith. I think it's a great thing, but you don't have to drink the Kool-Aid. You don't have to say you're right and everybody else is wrong. You don't, like I said with the placebo. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It works. It's going to work anyway.
I say drink the Kool-Aid, man.
Do you?
Well, you got to go through the door. Huxley says it. Doors of perception.
Doors of perception.
Go through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? Don't ever mention Keanu Reeves again. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I hate that guy.
I like him.
But you know what? He's fine as long as he doesn't say anything.
I went to see him in Much Ado About Nothing, the film Shakespeare. It's Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
I went with a girl. I thought I was going to get laid, so I took this girl with me. She wanted
Somebody
to go
once
and see
told
it.
Me that Keanu Reeves was a good actor. About 3 minutes later, they got hit by a car, so I just took that opinion and threw it out the window.
Well, I went to see that, and the girl said to me on the way in, I thought I was impressing her. It turned out she wasn't that interested in this. And she said, I bet Keanu Reeves gets his shirt off in the first 10 minutes.
For David Guetta.
So we're saying you didn't get laid.
And he didn't. Well, I don't remember. Probably not. It wasn't memorable anyway. And when we got in, he watched that movie and he within 10 minutes, he gets his shirt's off. Keanu Reeves' shirt is off. And his one line of the movie is this. I am a man of few words.
Yeah.
That's it.
And everything. Oh, can I just say something about music?
He plays John the Bastard. That's the name of the character.
John the Bastard.
Yeah.
Conscious awareness and music. There's one piece of music that always does it. And it's not Nirvana, don't worry.
It's Dave
John
Roll,
Coltrane.
It?
John Coltrane, Love Supreme.
Ba-bum,
that
ba-bum,
four, that four-step ba-bum, prayer. Ba-bum, that is a great... If you want to know what music and conscious awareness is, listen to Coltrane's A Love Supreme. It goes on for a bit, but there's a reason for that, because it takes you there.
All right.
It's a beautiful piece. I knew you'd like that, Doctor.
We'll go listen to it.
Thank you.
On the beach right now.
Yeah. John Coltrane. Here's my John Coltrane impression.
Go on.
No,
that was Miles Davis.
Well done, Dan. All right, we brought it back down to our level, and that's great. Now, let's just talk briefly. We've only got a minute, but we want to talk about the conference itself, the Toward a Science of Consciousness convention that you've just come back from, Joe. And we could talk about this all day long, but...
Helsinki next year, if anybody's interested.
Helsinki? Ooh. I am interested. Let's get the radio station
I'm not.
To pay.
I think I'm probably done with the conference at this point. I went to the one in Agra last year because I thought it was going to be
more.
The... Pardon?
One more.
Well, that's what keeps happening, yeah.
The Indiana Jones effect.
It's not going to be the Helsinki one, though.
Grab the hat and the satchel and do it again.
When Joe
Tel Aviv 2016.
Yeah!
We're going, yeah. When Joe found out that it was in Helsinki, he said, that's it, I'm finished.
Oh!
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm here all week. That was very good.
That was good.
I know. This year, it wasn't taken over by Deepak Chopra, which...
No, he was there.
Consciousness. Was he there with his books?
He was there, and I think he's going to be more and more prominent. Oh, yeah.
God, his CDs?
His $125 seminars.
These aren't self-published books, by the way, are they, on Author House? These are the real deal.
No, he's really published.
You're talking about the Deepaks?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got like 96.
He's got an agent.
Right. Yeah. But he does own the publisher.
You know what? It's like, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so tell us a little more about what's the atmosphere like at the conference? Is it?
Oh, it's a festival.
It is. Nobody's depressed that this is not happening, because we said before scientists like it when they don't know.
No, that's right. Everybody's exhilarated because they're all expecting everybody else to realize that they're right any minute now, and of course that never happens. But it's a carnival, you know, and it's a hypomanic intellectual festival of unconstrained insanity.
Scientists like to party, don't they?
Zombie blues.
They have a great time, man.
I
used to see them at conventions in San Francisco. Scientists tear it up.
And it's easy to get them drunk.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple of pills and a couple of shots of Jägermeister.
And you're in.
They have access to all that.
Yeah, a couple of simultaneous equations in there.
Boom.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, like, if scientists like ignorance and they like not knowing, then do you think you tell me, is there an anticlimax when they do, like when they have a eureka moment, you know, like when, so I'm thinking about Einstein and relativity, special relativity, you know, yes!
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, it goes three times. I mean, a famous saying that anything Richard Feynman said three times was right. The first couple of times he'd be wrong, and he'd come and tell you half a day later, no, that wasn't it.
Quantum physics, right, Richard Feynman?
One last comment. That one of the things that takes over after the thrill of the scientific investigation backs off is celebrity. A lot of these guys have become celebrities. You know, Deepak, obviously, that's what he does.
Neil deGrasse Tyson seems to be the
Neil
lion.
deGrasse Tyson. He's not a consciousness guy.
But he's not.
Yeah, and he's properly famous, but so are David Chalmers
and Stuart
Hammer.
What do you think of the cosmos? What do you think of it? Because Carl Sagan was the man, you know.
I didn't see it. Did you?
I've seen it, the new one.
I like it very much.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't trust him.
You don't trust him?
No, I think he's probably a
dodgy.
Something wrong with him.
No, it's a remake.
I believe him. I like it.
Yeah, do you? I believe that he likes it, and I believe he's enthusiastic, and he's a very smart guy. You know, he's not a very good actor. So when he's on TV and he goes, hey, you know,
he's an astronomer.
Excited about this. Yeah, he's not. I don't know. He's not good. It's Carl Sagan, I sort of believed him. He seemed like a natural.
Mm-hmm.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Billions and billions.
All right,
Martin,
we're done.
Look, Martin's ready.
Going, we're done. Yeah, let's get out of here. Okay, so... Dr. Joe Ferguson, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed it as much as we have. Doesn't seem like there's been much headway made, if you'll pardon the pun, into a consciousness since last year.
Well, no, not since last year. It's already been resolved. It's not going to be resolved right away.
It's not meant to be, is there?
It's not going to happen in our lifetime.
If we want to really get this thing like in the bud, we've got to start listening more to people like David Icke.
Who?
We can't get into it. It's 9:59.
No.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you,
John Troy.
Thank you,
for
Jason.
Being here. Your show's tonight at 11 o'clock.
At 10.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Martin Cohen.
Been pulled up.
When's your show?
That late.
My show is
next week at 9 o'clock. Is it?
Wednesday.
In a different consciousness.
All right. And Daniel Barnes, thank you
Saturday
for joining
Saturday
Rock
us. Show. Between the hours of 9 and 1 minute after.
Yeah. Okay. It's KX93.5. We are Laguna's only FM radio station. If you want to know why we did this, it's because I wanted to, because I'm fascinated by the subject.
Good on you, man.
I really appreciate it, Joe. AlertTheGlobe.com. AlertTheGlobe.com is right now a streaming service, but it's about to blow up and become something brilliant. So keep your eyes peeled on that website, AlertTheGlobe.com. This is KX93.5. We are Laguna's only FM.
Ever think too much and don't ever think. is on fire. Don't ever think too much and don't